So the first thing I want to ask, though, is most artists, they're really excited when they put out one CD, but y'all put out two. So how did two CDs come about?
Well, that's interesting. I guess that really happens in our business by being very tardy with one of the CDs, so that it just bumps up against the other one. Musica por un tiempo CD. I can't say that. Musica por un tiempo CD was a long time project. It was a long time coming. We've recorded it over, I believe, almost 3 years. And it was our project, and we got a Copland grant for it. And so it was one of those projects that kept getting longer. We kind of halfway changed producers, and so it just got longer and longer and longer. We wanted to actually release it a year before the Portrait CD, mm-hmm. so that give people time to kind of digest the whole idea, and then. Portrait CD got ready to be released, and Musica got ready at the same time. So, and then we started thinking, gosh, classical music, contemporary ensemble, we really don't have rules. Let's just release them both together and make a bigger impact in some ways that, first of all, we could do that. Feature both Albany Records and, New Dynamic Records all sort of equally, and give them all sort of the limelight. And I don't know. I think it was sort of making a bigger splash by doing two instead of one. Ended up, at least.
Well, both of them, I guess then, I'm real familiar with Albany, and I guess New Dynamic, these are nationwide distribution as well. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, both of them are. New Dynamic is a smaller, much newer record company, and it is affiliated with Indiana University, and composer Eric Stem is the head of it. And what he does is they have grant money that they use every year to release one CD, and they try to find interesting repertoire and interesting artists around the country to and people who don't get the limelight most of the time, which is a wonderful thing to do, give people a chance to kind of release an album and on a national level. So it's a really wonderful, wonderful, wonderful record label. And so we went to Indiana and Kentucky, right around the border there, recorded great pieces.
We'll talk about the music here in just a second, but I just want to stay on the guts of the business end here for a minute as well. And just I'm curious about, again, this gets into nationwide distribution and, hopes for being an ensemble that's known even beyond San Antonio here as well, because you've got a 20-year history in San Antonio now, and then putting these nationwide releases out there, I guess, both in a physical format of a CD but also digitally as well, provides a new opportunity for the group's sound to be heard, I guess.
Absolutely. I mean, it's invaluable, and the way we look at it, and I think most classical groups look at CD releases, is to reach a much wider audience nationally and internationally. Because, you Google a composer or Google a piece, and, all of a sudden yours is the recording that pops out. And that could be heard anywhere in the world, which is an incredible opportunity these days for everyone. And for us, we've been wanting to do this, but for 20 years... here in San Antonio, we were so happy to be able to just commission works and perform them for the first time for San Antonio audiences. And even though we wanted to do a recording, that wasn't really sort of on the forefront for the longest time. It was later on that we kind of got the, idea that, we should really actually put something out there. Even though we released a few things on our own, putting it together, some live things that we've done over the years, and I kind of went into a editing room and to see what we could do to, help them out as far as, sound quality and all that kind of stuff. So we had a few things like that, but, they were not released nationally, obviously. So this is a great opportunity. And the ASCAP Award, the CMA ASCAP Award for Adventurous Programming, of course, also helped put us on the map a little bit. So it's nice to know that groups like us in Texas or other parts of the country that may not be known for their diversity in arts, to put those places in the limelight in the national scene is a good feeling.
And we have composers that have local connections on here, including Tim Kramer, David Heiser as well. Some great pieces by them.
Yeah. I mean, we love those guys. And it was such a great, the selection process was hard because we have 43, I believe now, commissions to pick from. And so it was a difficult selection process. And you can see from the dates of some of those pieces, they are some of the early ones that Soli had commissioned. I mean, Heiser's piece is a little bit later, but Tim's is, I think, like 96 maybe. And I believe Crows by Alexandra Gardner is also a fairly early one. So it's really interesting, even though we commissioned really fun pieces recently, these were sort of what we gravitated towards, not only because of the local connection, but I think it's the connection to our past in some ways. Like, we wanted to bring these things out because they have not been heard nationally as much. So it was kind of, I guess, subconsciously, it was in our mind. And
well, what makes you also decide these particular pieces for a recording? Because, and for both portraits and for Musica por un Tiempo. Look, I said it.
That was great. That was perfect.
What makes you decide these particular pieces? Because, you know, you're programming for an audience, basically, when you put things on a CD, an audience that you don't see, and you're programming not for a concert experience, but for a listening experience in a car, at home, on an iPod.
Right.
You know, what made you decide these particular pieces with that in mind?
You know, it's really interesting because the Musica CD, I think personally, I was thinking about it because of the way we listen these days. I mean, I remember growing up with at home, my dad would put on an album and we would sit there and listen to it, and not necessarily a classical album. You know, obviously that's sort of a given. You know, you have a symphony, four movements. You know, you have the sort of start, middle, finish kind of thing. But jazz albums, this similar way. We used to sit and listen from, you know, top to bottom. It was different back then. Somehow, I don't know if we had more time or anything, but we do definitely have less time. And I think people listen much more in shorter bursts. And so I guess I thought that the pieces on the Musica CD aren't necessarily creating an arc together, but each of them deserved the limelight so much that they're there to listen to. So I think, you know, most people would put it on and, you know, listen to Kramer or Heiser or Gardner, you know, and may not maybe go all the way to the end. You know, you'll pick the piece. So I wasn't thinking about an arc, but funny enough, when you don't think about those things, sometimes they just happen naturally. I think the order they are on that CD creates an incredible arc. I mean, it just, you know, starts with Kramer, which starts very strong, and then, you know, we build into a sort of I don't know how to say it. It's not a high so much as just almost like relaxes you towards the end, you know, because Alex's piece is just so beautiful and euphoric in so many places, and I think it just kind of eases you out of the listening experience. I really enjoyed listening to it. This is the first time I did it, was maybe a month ago, from top to bottom, you know, and I was feeling like, gosh, this is a pretty good order. I don't know who came up with that. I don't think it was me necessarily, but it was kind of genius. The other one, Portrait CD, that came to us as a package. Composers who were involved in that project were the initiators of the recording project as well as the concert project that we put together. I think it was called Hot Off the Press a couple of years ago.
Yes.
And Elliot McKinley, Eric Stem, and Peter Farmer got together and had the idea of having pieces of theirs be on a CD. And Eric said, hey, guys, I have this record label, you know, why don't we think about this? And Elliot, of course, is a good friend of ours from a long time ago. We have another commission from him, earlier commission. And he suggested, how about Soli Chamber Ensemble? And so then they called us. We programmed their pieces. We actually premiered all three pieces here in San Antonio. And then literally 2 days after, we all flew back to Indiana and did some more rehearsing and then went into the studio and recorded them. So it was kind of a package deal. And they told us, you know, because of the length of CDs and all that kind of stuff, they said, well, what other piece would you guys like to put on this CD? And our thought was immediately Diego Vega's Divertimento, because we wanted to record that for a long time anyway, and we thought this would be a great opportunity. And we love him. We love his music. I think he's one of the brilliant Colombian composers, and he's actually teaching in Las Vegas, I believe, right now. And so we suggested that, and now that became sort of the fourth on the CD. So the three were a package, and we added Diego.
I love that Diego Vega piece, by the way. When I put the CD on, I just, you know, plopped it in and hit the first track, and immediately there's such beauty in that piece of his that I think it really, you know, when you talk about a listening experience and bringing you in right away, it truly does.
Yes, yes, absolutely. He has such a great sense for these colors, and the way he writes for these four instruments. Actually, we can say that because we did another piece of his first, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I cannot pronounce it. It's this long title that is like ancient Mayan or something. And that piece was sort of the catalyst for our relationship with him, because he wrote so beautifully. Each instrument dovetails on specific notes, and all of a sudden, you know, you can't tell who's playing what, and then suddenly, like, a clarinet will bloom out of it, or cello, or piano. He has such a beautiful sense of that kind of combination of colors, and he does the same thing in Divertimento. It is much more melodic, I believe, than the other piece that was a little bit more sort of atmospheric. And this is just such a delight to play, and I think it's a delight to listen to. So we were just so glad that it's on that CD, because it really juxtaposes against the other three pieces, but it kind of eases you in, as you said, you know.
How are you – obviously you've – built up friendships and alliances with composers over the years. How do you discover a new composer when you're thinking, oh gosh, you know, we'd like to commission a new piece? And if you're searching around, where do you find new music in that regard?
It's a combination of things, as usual. I mean, you know, internet obviously is a huge deal. I mean, you know, you can put a search word and, you know, come up with all sorts of things just right away.
But there's so much stuff that it's like, you know, like,
true.
Where are the signposts that lead you to those?
Signposts are usually either pieces or composers that other groups that we know of work with. Also, we hear a lot from other composers that suggest, you know, new names that are up and coming. Actually, our clarinetist and cellist, David and Stephanie, they've actually had a wonderful conversation with Aaron J. Kernis recently. He was in town for his prelude, mm-hmm. Being performed by San Antonio Symphony, premiered by San Antonio Symphony. And so we know Aaron well, because we've actually done an all Aaron J. Kernis concert, American Portrait, a few years back, and he was going to join us, but he couldn't because his wife was in an unfortunate accident and broke her leg. So he had to stay, but we Skyped him in for the concert, before the concert. So at least we feel like we had that residency kind of thing. But so we know Aaron really well, and they had a really great conversation. And Aaron was coming up with 5, 6, 7 different new composers for us to contact. And in some ways, this sounds really horrible, but like, get in on it now. Because what happens, even in the classical world, still, and thank God for that, is you have these names that come at you, and you don't know much about them, and they may not have much repertoire for us to do yet. But then a year later, all of a sudden, you know, they get some Carnegie grant, and, you know, they get a pre-Rome, and they all of a sudden they're writing operas and symphonies, and they become resident composers for New York Philharmonic. So it's an interesting thing to always have your ear out and make sure that, you know, you give an opportunity to the young composers, because, you know, they're growing and they're going places, a lot of them. And so when someone like Aaron tells you, hey, these are the 5 you guys should look at, you know, you go directly look at them and try to engage them to write for you or do some of their pieces or bring them over, you know. And, you know, after all, it is a business. So you're kind of trying to make sure that you're current with everything, you know. There's that. And then I listen to a lot of things online. You know, I go to composer websites and listen to their pieces and get a sense of their style and whether or not, you know, that gels with what we like or don't like. Or, you know, not everybody writes, obviously, in the style that maybe is easier for you or harder for you to perform. And, you know, you may want to be challenged, so you might want to commission that person versus the other person. So, you know, there are a lot of little things. And then the other thing, which is so cool, we're so proud that I think we've been around enough and now nationally known enough that composers actually contact us. So that is always such a delight because, you know, you get the sense of, oh gosh, you know, this is great. You know, San Antonio, Soli, we're on the map. This is so wonderful that a composer from Virginia can call you and say, hey, you guys, I like what you do. Would you consider? And so we have a running list of composers that we're sort of trying to get to. But of course, financially, it's a very difficult thing because we recognize that they're professionals and their commissions have to be paid for. And
if you don't mind my asking, because people, you know, obviously, and you've got a new way to help fund these things through the, what's it called? The Soli
Sound Investors.
You've got a new way to fund these through the Sound Investors program at Soli. In a ballpark, how much does it cost to commission a new work?
Well, these days, I guess it differs for some composers, but there's sort of, for the known composers, it kind of starts like $1,000 a minute, really, you know, not to give it away too much. But, you know, you have a 20-minute fairly substantial piece. You know, you're looking at a fairly large sum of money, and to be able to come up with that just as an organization, you know, from our budget is always very difficult. So it's so important to involve the community so that they have certain amount of ownership for that piece too. And, you know, they trust us to pick the right composer to write for. And so we were able to commission quite a few pieces through the Sound Investors program. And I invite everybody to check it out, you know, and every little bit helps. If you want to be a part of a specific commission, you know, just call us, let us know.
Yeah. Most people, I think, you know, when they think modern classical music, they think crunchy avant-garde stuff.
Right. Right.
You know, right. And there is that. And then there is, you know, neo-romantic, beautiful stuff, you know. So, I mean, modern really is, to me, okay, it's been written recently.
Yes, yes. I think really that's the way to really look at it. I mean, we do. We, of course, you know, we've been doing this for 20 years, so we love the challenges of the more avant-garde sounding pieces, and challenges are, you know, sometimes it's maybe less obvious for the audience and more obvious for the players, and sometimes that reverses. Sometimes it seems so simple to us, but the audience finds it very complex. So, you know, giving everything and everybody a chance as much as possible, and our audiences have always been incredibly open. You know, the age spread of a Soli audience is, you know, anywhere from really like 12 to, you know, 90, and mm-hmm. and some of our older audience members love some of the craziest things we do. Sometimes they're not so happy when we go a little soft on them. So, and or vice versa, some of the younger audiences say, "Oh, you know, I wish that you guys did some more pretty stuff." I mean, it changes every day and every concert, and we're so encouraging about everybody expressing how they felt about something they heard, because we don't want people to pretend to like something when they don't. And it's really good to be able to discuss it, because I think that's part of the process. I mean, especially if we're premiering something, mm-hmm. You know, everybody always gives the, you know, Beethoven was new once, you know, all that. And that's very true. And he had his challenges. I mean, you know, Grosse Fugue, yeah. It was like people hated it. You know, now it's like, oh my God, people can't get enough of it. So we don't know what's going to survive, what's going to be the next classic thing that people are going to go to. So having that dialogue with people is very important, and for them to be able to say, well, I didn't like this, and for us to be able to kind of come back with, well, you know, he or she was trying to do this, and, you know, this is what we're trying to get, you know, easily understood somehow about this piece. And then sometimes they're kind of him and hawing, and so, yeah, I kind of see your point. So there is this dynamic conversation that happens.
Yeah. Okay, finally, let's talk a little bit about last fall and the NC performance with Soli, which was a really great community experiment. I was really impressed with the diversity and number of people,
yes,
that came out and performed.
Yes, it was fantastic. I mean, what a ride. And I think everybody truly enjoyed, I mean, everybody who participated truly enjoyed the experience of rehearsing and, you know, putting it together, hearing different things, because it's such a great fluid piece, you know, never sounds the same, ever. And so it was, I think everybody was just so into it. And I think that really radiated into the audience both times we performed it. And such a successful thing. I mean, it was a genius idea. I think you and Stephanie cooked it up for many, many years before we finally made it happen, you know, and hopefully we'll try to make that at least like annual event or something like that, so that everybody can enjoy that experience.
Oh, we'd love to do, just as an aside, yeah, we would love to do another collaboration of some yeah. sort, whatever, you know.
Hey, we're open. Yeah. You know us.
Yeah, so Stephanie and I will have lunch again. And
exactly. Cook up something else. Sounds fine to me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the audience really did respond to it, I think. And, you know, and especially, again, to the idea of the community being involved with
exactly.
it.
Exactly, so. Exactly. And I think that you know, a lot of organizations in town try to do events like this, and I think for us to be able to, such a smaller organization as we are, to have such an impactful thing on our program for the community was really, really joyous for us too, because you could see really the intensity of everyone who was on stage with us. I mean, there were kids who were, you know, 16. And we had one violinist who was maybe, you know, in their early 60s. So here's the wide range of, again, ages and, you know, experiences were all on stage, just kind of for this common goal. And everybody was enjoying just throwing a little wrench in there, you know, it's just kind of move on to the next little bit so that it sounds different all of a sudden. And then everybody was getting influenced by each other. And I mean, it was just such a great dynamic thing to do.
Cool. All right. Well, Ayrton, thank you very much.
You're so welcome, Nathan. Yeah.